Much everyone for being here today. I appreciate your time, and I know it's a little difficult sometimes to be sitting so much, so hopefully the stretching and the getting around, the breaks that we've had, have been helpful to you. One of the things that's often difficult when we want to get into a discussion with someone about the gospel is simply breaking the ice, you know, getting your foot in the door, as they might say it that way. And so that's always a challenge. How do you transition from talking about the basketball game or you know, your visit with them in your house to getting into spiritual matters and getting into the discussion about the gospel? So you'll notice, hopefully, does everyone have this outline called the Salvation Highway? If you don't have it, raise your hand. Try to pass it around to everybody already. Looks like everybody has it. Good. And so we're going to go over this flow chart here that will help you to be able to go through different scenarios in people that you meet and different reactions they're going to have in you trying to present the gospel to them. You'll notice that at the top of the page there's a question, and eventually that's where you want to get, but even getting to that question can sometimes be a very difficult thing to do, because you don't want to just necessarily clobber someone over the head with a Bible right away. So you have to be able to find your spot for that kind of question. It is very personal, and it will get personal when you're talking about salvation with them. I'm going to take my wife totally off guard here. I didn't even tell her I was going to do this, but she kind of knows the routine here a little bit, because she's seen me do this several times, so she shouldn't mess up at this, right? She's going to be, let's say, a non-religious person. I'm going to do a little role-playing here with her. She's going to stay in the pew. She's not leading the class. I'm leading the discussion. That's male leadership here, okay? And she's going to be the part of someone who is a non-religious person and someone who's going to take us down the left side of this flow chart here. So follow that razzle, the left side all the way. And I'm going to go through these questions with you, and you'll see how this is how you will get eventually to talking about the gospel, talking about someone's salvation with them, talking about the gospel. So, there we go, that'll work. So Razzle and I, how can I draw this up? Her husband and my wife, we're often taking our kids to the Little League baseball games. And so, we've known each other for a few months now, and we enjoy talking in the bleachers while we're watching our kids play baseball. We have a little rapport together, but we don't know each other real well. And she probably knows that to some extent that I'm a churchgoer, and that I'm kind of a religious person, but she's not. And so I want to talk with her about her salvation. And so we're sitting in the bleachers. The game is over. I'm not trying to pick up on her husband. They have a good marriage. They're okay. And I've got a good marriage with my wife over here. Okay. And so I'm talking with her about her salvation. And so, hey, Razzle, we won the game today. Wasn't it a great game? And the kids were playing so good together. The parents were so supportive. Nobody argued the ref calls and anything. It was a great game today. And wasn't it great to watch our kids today?
It was great.
Yeah, and your son did real well. You know, he hit that home run and everything. It was just going great. And, I really enjoyed this game. And, we see each other at the game a lot, Razzle. And, I really admire your family. You got a great husband, great kids, you know. And it's really, really nice to know you. And, there's something that's really important to me that I was kind of thinking I might want to talk with you about sometime, and I was wondering if maybe you just have a minute to talk about something for a minute.
Sure.
If we could. You know, you probably noticed that my family and I, we go to church and everything, and, mm-hmm. and I know one day the Lord's going to come back, and this world's going to come to an end, and Razzle, if the Lord were to come back right now, would you know for sure that you'd go to heaven?
No.
What, does that bother you? All the way down the left.
I'm sorry. No, not really.
Oh, it doesn't bother you. Okay. Well, I hope you don't mind me asking this question. I really don't want to, offend you in any way, but I tell you, if I want you to remember that I asked you this question. If you ever want to talk about it, I'd love to talk about it someday. But I'm glad that you at least talk with me a little bit about it. And man, I tell you what, I just want to be friends with you, and I want to make sure that everything's okay. So I hope I didn't say anything that would bother you today.
No, not at all, John.
Okay. You always end with a friend. You never insult anybody into heaven. So when you talk with people, you have a goal in mind. You want to get to talking about the gospel, but don't get so excited that you think you're going to get there. And if they don't ever want to go there with you, then you've got to be, angry about it or sound negative about it when you're with that person. Always end on a good note. Now we're going to follow the other, the next scenario. So we did the same thing. We were talking, and I won't go into all the whole thing again. So we're at the game, and I'm talking to Razzle. We're in the bleachers, and I asked the question again. I said, one day the Lord's going to come back, Razzle. And, if he came back right now, would you know without a doubt that you'd go to heaven?
No.
Huh, does that bother you at all?
When I think about it, I really don't think about it.
Well, do you think it's a good time for us to think about it right now?
No.
Oh, okay. I really appreciate you talking with me about it. I appreciate your time and everything. Hope someday, we can talk about it. And I'd love to talk whenever you're ready. Now, one of the reasons why you're doing that, let me draw this out here. The reason why you've got those handshakes in there and you always want to end on a positive note is because that person that you're talking with, they may not right now be at a point when they're ready to talk about it. But when they have the death of a loved one and they go to a funeral and that subject is brought up and they're at that point in their life, 3 months down the road, she might remember, or I might bring it up again in the bleachers there, our discussion, and then she might stop and look at me and say, I think I'm ready to talk about that discussion. You're ready to have that day. And then, see, God has brought things into her life where she's then ready to talk about it. But if I never get that door just a little cracked open, I can never open it all the way unless I get the thing started, you see? So that's why we're asking those questions of someone, even though they may not be ready. And I already knew in my mind, I was in the bleachers there, and I already knew she wasn't a religious person. She may not, be interested in talking about it right now, but remember, Dan, what I told you before? God did not set us on this earth to be soil inspectors. He sent us to sow the seed. Her soil was not ready, but later some other time it might be ready. I'm going to plant that seed because that seed is something she's going to kick out of her heart right now, but later on she may be more open to that seed. So I'm going to continue to sow that seed. I may even take notes in my own little journal and say, here was the day I tried to talk with Razzle at the game, and then I 4 months later I look at my journal and I said, it's been about 4 months. Maybe I'll go and ask that same question and see if she's ready. And see, when I ask it the second time, I want to also make sure I'm gentle, and I'll say to her something along the lines of, I know I asked you that question before, but would you mind if we talked about that again and gently bring it up again? Not hammering her with it or pestering her about it or anything like that, but always concerned about her soul. So now, a few months later again, I come and ask the same question. What if the Lord were to come right now? Would you know for sure, without a doubt, that you'd go to heaven? Now she's going to go down the other line. Let's see. You're still under the no?
No, I don't think so.
Well, does that ever concern you that you don't know?
Yeah, it does.
Oh, it does. Okay. Well, are you a Christian? Now, we'll stop there. Okay, because I'm going to get to the point number two later on. But now she's ready. Something's come up. She's ready to talk about it. It's now started to bother her. It started to concern her. And so she's ready to talk about it. Before she wasn't, but now she is. And it's all because I decided to ask again. And I even said, when she said, no, I don't want to talk about it, I even said, well, does that concern you at all? I kind of like the word concern better, by the way, than the word bother. It says on there, does it bother you? It kind of sounds a little bold. I'm kind of more, kind of soften the blow a little bit. Does it concern you? Does it, you ever think about that? Can we think about it? So we're always trying to get her to think about it one day. Now she's ready to talk about it, and I get to ask her, is she a Christian? But I'm going to get to that later because I'm going to go through the other two scenarios that will get us right back to question two anyway. So we'll now go to the yes block. And so I've asked her the question, what if the Lord had come right now? Would you know for sure? And she answers,
yes.
She is absolutely confident. She knows she's going to heaven. and that's okay, and I want to compliment her. Man, I'll tell you what, Razzle, there's not many people I meet like you that have that conviction. I love your strong answer. You said yes. I can tell thee you love the Lord. That's exciting. Wow. Are you a Christian?
And yes. No.
Not, I can't answer that yet. Okay. So now she's sure she's going to heaven. Now, see, I changed persons now. She wasn't the non-religious person. Now she's the convicted person. She's maybe a churchgoer, and so I switched people on you here. And so Razzle's the one that's sure she's going. She might be attending some religious group, and she's really happy about her salvation. But then there are other people that when I ask the question, get to the last one, the right column, Razzle, they say what?
I don't know.
Not sure. I don't think so. I think so. I hope so. Wish upon a lucky star I'll get there one day, but I don't know. And can you even know for sure that you're going to heaven? You know, a lot of people don't think you can know for sure that you're going to heaven. They think you just kind of plod through life, hoping, wishing, praying, but you just, they can't have that. In fact, people that have that confidence that they think they're first, like she answered before, yeah, I know I'm going to heaven. Some people will say, well, you're kind of cocky, kind of arrogant. Who do you think you are? You know, some people don't think you can know. They think you just wander through life and hoping, thinking, maybe one day I'll get saved, but I don't know for sure. So she says, I don't know. Well, so I'm going to go to question number two. Are you a Christian?
No.
So she says, no, I'm not a Christian. Now, check this out, because in our anti-establishment, non-institution kind of society that we live in, some people say, you don't have to belong to a Christian, you don't have, or belong to a Christian, belong to a church, you don't have to per se be a Christian, but you can know for sure that you're going to heaven. So she took that view. And she's, so when I asked, are you a Christian? She says, no. Now, the next question, I rarely have to really get into this, but that little block that says, were you ever a Christian, that helps us to understand, you know, did not only is she not a Christian now, but maybe she fell away. And so now she was a Christian at one point. Okay, so were you ever a Christian, but she still says?
No.
No. Well, do you love the Lord?
No.
No, she doesn't love the Lord. Okay. No. Wow. How many people are going to say, no, I don't love the Lord, right? Most people will say yes. So you're very rarely over in that column. I hate God. I hate, you know, everything. Hate the Bible. Hate Jesus. Very few people are there. But she decided to be there today because I told her she had to be. So she said, no, I don't love God. And again, do you just look at them like, what a fool. How could you be that way? You know, you don't do that. Well, I'll tell you what, man, you know, whenever someday we can talk about it, I sure would love to talk about it. It'd be great. You know, but, you know, you're not ready today, so that's fine, you know. You don't want to be mad. End with a friend. Now let's go back up to question two again. Run the other scenario with me, Razzle. So are you a Christian?
Yes, I am.
No, you're still a no.
Oh, are you no?
You're still a no.
No.
Okay, were you ever a Christian?
No.
Do you love God?
No.
No, you're the yes. You're
oh,
the
I'm
yes.
Sorry.
She loves God.
I didn't know you.
See, and that's where most people are going to be, even if they're against church, against, sorry, I should have warned you ahead of time. You're against the church, you're against the being a Christian, but you still love God. And boy, if you love God, then I can say, wonderful, you love the Lord. Can I share with you how I found the Lord, how I became a Christian, how I got saved? And let's see. Okay, yeah. So now you've gotten them down to, you've gone through the flow chart, and you successfully got to the point now, through all these scenarios I've drawn with you, for you, now you got to the point that even though she's not a Christian, she thinks maybe she's going to heaven, but she's not a Christian, but she still loves God. I can say, hey, can I talk to you about how I became a Christian? Now, at this point, guess what? She can actually still say, no, I don't want to hear it. I don't want religion. You still have to, it doesn't have it on here, but you still have to end with a friend. Well, maybe one day we can talk about it. I'd love to share with you my story. I call it my glory story, how I became a Christian, okay? And maybe she wants to hear that story. So then we'll get into the gospel presentation, and that'll be in our session after lunch. But let's go ahead. And actually, we're getting through this quicker than I thought. So you guys, come as we're going through this, if you have any questions or any other scenarios that you can, if you want to throw a wrench at me this morning, that's not on the paper here, and you say, well, wait a minute, how about this, or what if they did this, or what if they said this, ask me those questions today through this session, because we'll have lots of time. In fact, you know what we'll probably do, Brother Dan, is just leave a little early for lunch, if we can do that. That way, yeah. Okay, so let's go back to question two, and we're running through the scenario now, picking up at question number two, and now, Razzle, you can take the middle column, which is yes. So, are you a Christian?
Yes.
Wow. You're a Christian. That's great. I love to meet other people who not only love the Lord and not only have the kind of conviction that you have, but are not ashamed to say that they are a Christian. Now, as all of you know, that word Christian means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And so, but she still believes she's a Christian. She still believes that she has a story that's dear to her. And I want to give her a platform, an opportunity to tell me how much she values her relationship with God and what he means to her and how he has shaped her life, right or wrong, it doesn't matter. She's had an experience, and you know, you never hear somebody's experience and then have a frown on your face and look at them saying, yeah, sure, yeah, right, you know. You never do that. You're always listening. You have a smile. Wow, that sounds great. What a story. It doesn't matter how, they might even say to you, I've heard had somebody say to me one time that I'm a Christian and I'm also a homosexual. And I go to, and I'm on this, there's a gaychurch.com on the internet, and they believe they can be a Christian and homosexual at the same time. Boy, it's hard for me at that point not to look at that person and say, are you crazy? You know, but I have to compose my face and I say, oh, really? You're homosexual and you're a Christian. That's great, you know. Not exactly like that. I wouldn't do it that way, but I certainly wouldn't want to put a frown on my face because that's their experience. That's their life. I'm not going to put it down. And so we'll get to the homosexuality issue later. Now that doesn't jive with being a Christian, but that's what they think a Christian is. So she's had some experience. Now I'm at that question where she said, yes, I know I'm saved. Yes, if the Lord were to come back now, yes, I'm a Christian. And so what I want to do, and always sitting on the edge of my seat with a smile, oh, tell me about how you came to know the Lord. Tell me about your salvation. And with all of it in mind, what you're wanting to do is pinpoint in their minds the point in which they went from a lost state to a saved state, and how that does that match up with the Bible. And then as you tell your story, and when they see it through the scriptures and they understand that your story through the Bible is actually not their story, then they'll be left with the decision whether or not they want to get in on Christ and be saved, because their story isn't the story that leads to salvation, the true story. So I'm asking her questions like, well, how were you saved?
Well, I came down. I was going to a Baptist church, and they gave the invitation one day, and I felt something in my heart, and I knew that it was the Holy Spirit talking to me, so I went forward.
Now, Razzle's talkative, and she gives lots of information, but you know, some people you're asking that question to, they're going to answer with very short, vague answers. So as you as a listener, and as one guiding the discussion and trying to get them to flesh out their story, you might have to ask, where was it? She told me where it was. She's beginning to tell me when it was. So, you know, if they're just saying, well, I had this experience and I came to know the Lord, that was their first answer to that first question, then you have to ask, well, where was it? When was it? What day was it? On a Sunday? Well, did you go forward at a revival meeting? Did you, get into your closet one day and ask the Lord into your heart? You know, what were the circumstances? How were you saved? Can't even read the small print here. Did you respond to an invitation? Okay, that was number five. They're just giving you sample questions. You don't have to like go through this as a litany of questions with the person. They're giving you ideas here in this block. What you're trying to do through this whole flow chart, your objective is to get them down into that block and to tell them, get you to tell them how they got saved, which is usually minus one very important detail that when you tell your story, then they're going to see the fuller picture and they realize that something's missing and they actually need to get saved. But verse number six, what did the preacher pray? Did you said a prayer? You asked Jesus into your heart. Number eight, then you were Let's see. Then you are telling me that you were saved in the prayer. You were saved right there. You were saved under these conditions, which were not the right conditions, the right way to get saved. They've told you a different story. And so you're wanting to pinpoint in their minds when they thought they become a Christian. Now, there is one block. I haven't changed it on this here. But there's one block I don't really like here. Go down to the, the right-hand corner where it says, I was not saved that way. I don't say it like that. Because when you say, I was not saved that way, you're telling them, you're wrong and I'm right. So I don't say it that way. I just say, can I share with you how I became a Christian? Can I tell you my story? So you might want to change that on your block there. You don't want to be abrasive. You don't want to be judgmental. Oh, you were saved the wrong way. Let me tell you the right way. I wasn't saved that way. Here's the right way. To me, that I just don't like that block. So I basically just say, well, that's an interesting story. I can see that you really love the Lord. Again, you're finding common ground. You're complimenting them. And you're saying, can I now share with you my story? And by the way, I tell my story with the Bible. And that's what we're going to be doing when we come back from lunch. Now, all the things that I've said, if you look on the other side of the sheet, it kind of breaks it all down verbally so you can see how to use the flow chart. That's what the purpose of the back side of the sheet is to kind of give you the details of how you navigate through. Does this sound a little simple to you? I mean, maybe you're looking at it. And by the way, I want to make sure that you don't treat this flow chart like a sales pitch. You get people that call you on the phone all the time, right? And they have their little piece of paper, their little spiel that they're going to run on. Don't treat it like that. This is something that, obviously, when you're talking with somebody, if I'm talking with Razzle, I don't want to be, talking with Razzle and looking at, oh, I didn't, She's going to think, wow, this is a canned deal, you know what I mean? This is some programmed, you want to be able to try to kind of get this concept in your head so where you're not reading from it and looking like a salesman and like somebody that's trying to sell a product or make a pitch over the phone like they do. That's not what it's about. We're about souls. We're not about trying to sell a product. So, unfortunately, you have to go through some obstacles, and that's what this is designed to do, is guide you through the obstacles, the smoke screens that they'll put up to try to get out of, discussing. And it's just a way for you to get your foot in the door so you can get to the block there, talk about how they think they became a Christian and what the Bible says and see if it matches up. Does anyone have any questions or comments about this? Yes.
What if they go right to their religious belief? If you ask them they're a Christian and they answer, say, well, I've been in a Mormon church for many years, or I've been a Jehovah's Witness for many years, and they go right to their particular faith.
Oh, yeah. You just, again, just want to compliment. Just say, wow, I can tell you really love the Lord. I've had some nice Mormon friends. They really love family. They value raising kids the right way, or if it's Jehovah's Witness, same thing. They love families. Try to find ways that you can complement and find common ground with that. And if they're trying to get off into doctrinal issues, again, you will just say, that's an interesting question. Can I write that down and we'll talk about that the next time? And I'd like to just talk about the gospel today and how to get to heaven. And just guide it back to, always come back to the gospel. And like I said, was showing you with Jesus' example, if they really are wanting succinct answers and kind of you feel compelled to touch on a little bit, you can just say, kind of like Jesus did, well, I believe that we should follow what the Bible teaches. And you have to say that, oh, by the way, what the Bible teaches and what you Mormons are teaching are wrong. So you just say, I believe that whatever the Bible teaches, that's right. And you can agree with that, can't you? You can say to the person. So answer in generalities, or again, just write the question down, say, let's see if we can talk about that the next time. That. Yes. Yeah, that's a good one. I would then just kind of ask, well, what do you think about the Bible? Do you think it's God's word? One of the drawbacks to all of this is that if someone doesn't accept the Bible as God's word, you're probably actually not going to get too far with them. If they are open to at least considering it and saying, well, let's see what the Bible says, and then, at the end, they can decide whether that's, authoritative or not, but, That's a tough one. When you run into people that don't even accept the Bible as the Word of God, you're probably not going to end up with someone who wants to be saved, but at least they'll get Bible teaching when you're done, and it'll be left for them to decide. But I actually have a book. Let's see, did I bring it with me? I don't know that it's available. You can check on We Care Ministries website. And you know what? I think I didn't bring it with me. But it's a book on, the whole book is how to answer a Jehovah's Witness, how to answer a Buddhist, and it's got everything broken down by different religious beliefs. And I thought I brought that with me. What did I do with that? You know what? Maybe it's in that bag that you brought, Russell. Okay. Let's see. But I can show that to you later on maybe and see if you, you can still find that on their website, but it's a pretty good little resource. No, I don't think I put it up there, yeah. Yes?
Would you still go to those questions if you are dealing with somebody who answers in the way of, well, I'm not sure, I was young, and I don't know if I was saved for the right reasons?
Mm-hmm. Now, so what's your question about that? Would you?
On the right side, are you a Christian? Well, I don't know, I think so. Do you still go to those questions if that is their response?
Oh, if they don't know that they're saved?
No.
Is it?
If you ask me, I am a Christian, or are you a Christian? And I say, well, yes,
okay.
I've been baptized, but I was young.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I was saved for the right reason. Do you still immediately jump down to some of those questions, or is that a completely different?
Basically, there you will just let them guide the discussion as to how they want to talk about their religious experience. Because but then again, you kind of still have to come back to the issue of, did you ever, and sometimes you have to be very blunt about it, was there ever a time in your life where you said, I know I'm lost, and on this day, this happened, and I went from a lost state to a saved state? And some people, a lot of times, for instance, Catholics have a very, very, how would you say, generic view of salvation. A lot of Catholics I talk to, they just say, well, I've just been a Christian all my life. I've always been saved. I've never really had a conversion experience. I'm not too worried about that, because one of the things that's easy, Catholics, is that they were usually baptized as a baby, and later on in the discussion, I can show them what, you know, baptism is not for babies. And you know, we can get to that later on. And that makes it clear in their minds that they really weren't saved when they were 8 days old and sprinkled as a Catholic. That's not how it happened. But in your case where they don't know that they really had an experience, what you want to do is just say, you know, was there ever a time when you really went from being lost to being saved? And if they're still saying, I didn't have that time. I was just always a Christian. I think when you go through the gospel presentation, it's going to help them to see that salvation is more specific than that. It's not you just always was a good person. Your goodness won't save you. Your church won't save you. Your family won't save you. It's Christ who saves you, and they're going to see that through the gospel presentation. And it's a definitive moment in life, not some generic thing. So, well, you know, sometimes what I do in the presentation is I involve trying to debate whether we should do this or not. Sometimes I'll let you off the hook, because sometimes what I do is I take this chart and I ask you guys to break up into groups and go over it with each other. But for the sake of the fact that we're going to go to lunch anyway and it'll give us a little more time, I would just ask that you practice this at home. The little practice that we can do here probably won't really be a long-term benefit to you, but if you can just get the idea that with a family friend or family or friends, if you can rehearse this and kind of get it in your mind of how it works, you'll see that it actually becomes second nature. It's been more than 20 years ago that I ever even hardly, other than using it in the seminar, looked at this thing and said, oh, that's how you do it, because it's kind of there in my head already. And it'll become part of you and become very natural for you when you really decide repetitively to use this and become skilled at it, you might say. And it's really not that hard to do, I don't think at all. If you just keep in mind that you're always asking in such a way to get them to talk about their story. That's the end game.
Her question about what somebody who doesn't even believe the Bible is God's word.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like we could still use this flow chart And then when we get to this point, instead of focusing on the gospel, we could say we could focus on the Bible authority. Would you like to study about, would you like to learn about whether the Bible, how we know the Bible is from God?
Absolutely. Because see, when you start out, your first verse is, these things are written, then you can add verses in your presentation that say, these things are written in an authoritative way. These things are written by God. You can go to 2 Peter 1:19-21. It says that these were not the words of men, but men moved by the Holy Spirit as they wrote that verse there.
You can do it without the Bible. Yeah. We know that the Bible was written by 40 men over 1,600 years, and, you know, all of that stuff.
Yeah. Usually when I'm talking to somebody like that, what I'll often do is I'll just sort of, without trying to use actually the Bible, I'll just use some common sense. Do you actually believe there is a supreme being, someone who created this, or did this just all come into existence by accident? Well, look, they may believe in a supreme being. So you believe that supreme being would have wanted to communicate with us and have something that he could tell us who he is and what he wants from us? And if there was that supreme being that had that, what book do you think that would be? And they'd probably say, well, can't be this book, the Book of Mormon, or that teaching, or Shakespeare. Sounds like it's probably the Bible. And wouldn't it be logical to believe that all the literature written out there, the Bible is that book that God wrote? You know, so appeal to their common sense. You know.
But then, if they don't, or if they do, then you could go into. Well, can we look at the reasons I believe that the Bible is God's?
Exactly. Exactly. And that happened. Right, right.
Then you can concentrate on the gospel.
Right. And, of course, that's going to be a whole other discussion, so you're probably going to have a presentation written up ahead of time where you can guide them through verses to let them see the Bible is the authority from God. And that's going to be a discussion you'll have to have before you ever get into the gospel. So that's...
I just recently went through a creation, the Bible is accurate scientifically and all that kind of stuff, so we kind of have a background.
If you have written literature already set up to go through that, then that'd be the better way to do that. Because a lot of us aren't really, you know, equipped to have a deep discussion like that. True, yeah, exactly. I didn't forget your name. What's your name?
Polly.
And then Razzle.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's not the ultimate authority, but it's just a book.
Yeah.
But like you said, you go back to the common ground and say, well, if it's just a book, then what do you base your foundation on?
Ah, yes, exactly.
Because they have St. Peter, they have St. Paul.
Yeah.
Okay, so why, if it's just a book or a book of fiction, why do we base characters on that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, here's, in my experience with all of this, I would say greater than 95% of the time, I find folks who really want to believe that the Bible is from God. So I never really run into this. If I ever do, then right up at the beginning of that discussion, they're ready to shut me down anyway and just say, I don't want to hear your brand of religion. I don't want to hear the Bible. And I'm not going to go anywhere with them anyway. Not to say that I still want to give up on them. I still want to try to have that study about Bible authority and teach them. But I'm telling you, I can't even remember the last time I ran into somebody who says, the Bible is not from God, I don't want to talk about this anymore. I just never get that. People just have some affinity toward the Bible in a good way, you know. So, any other questions? Because we'll just leave around 10 minutes. Oh, I almost forget you. Go ahead.
You always forget me.
I do.
I could be raising my hand for 30 minutes.
She's just part of the furniture, you know, when I'm preaching. You know, everybody else matters. No, I'm kidding.
Once you get this question out there, God will provide a way. It is amazing. When they answer you in this manner, your jaw drops and hits the floor. You're like, okay, let me go to the next question. Are you a Christian? And then they give you a good answer, and you go, okay, give me your let me hear your glory story. I want to hear how you came to this knowledge. And then they tell me the day, the time, when they became saved, blah, blah, blah. And then from that point, the presentation of the gospel is easy because I'm prepared. I've got my Bible, and I stay on target no matter what kind of things they want to chase, whatever doctrinal issues, I stay on target, and I'm able to get through a gospel presentation in about 1 hour or an hour and a half. And I am amazed that even someone untrained as myself can do this, and you'll be scared, but you'll be amazed when God opens doors, when people will say, come on in, let's sit down, let's talk about this. Great.
Mm-hmm.
You can do this. If I can do it, you can do it.
And the way she's talking to it makes me want to tell you a lot of stories about things, really interesting things that have happened to me. And you learn by repetition, getting out there and using it, you learn how to do this a little bit better each time. Yes.
Without knowing this presentation, never seeing these books, I actually used it once.
Hmm.
I didn't know I was doing it until I started. I did this with a person once, and that person is now a member of the church.
Awesome.
And I didn't even know that that's what I was doing.
Now, and I'm gonna whet your appetite for the next session, because I'll tell you, one of the ways that we learned usually in the church to share the gospel with people is tell them all about what they must do. Hear, believe, confess, repent, be baptized, live a faithful life, if you want to add that six. So here's the six steps. And that all puts the emphasis on me, what I need to do to gain salvation. The presentation we're going to show you in the next hour is, it's all about God, not about you. So instead of five steps to salvation, hear, believe, confess, repent, be baptized, and if you want to add the six, instead of those five steps and it all being about the person, what they have to do to be saved, how they can get salvation, instead, here's our three things. Who is Jesus? What did he do? And what must you do to be saved? 3 points, and the first two put the emphasis on God. Who is Jesus? What did he do? And that the gospel is the focus. And then, naturally, what is the outflow? How would you want to respond to that to be saved? And you put the emphasis on God and the gospel, not on what a person does to gain their salvation. So you're going to see that difference in the next session. So we're going to leave around 8 minutes early, I guess, and go get lunch and come back at about 1:30 or so.
1:30.
That'll give us a lot of time, yeah.